How many of y'all enjoyed Gerald Brooks last week? Were you here? You enjoyed Gerald? Yeah, we'll have him come back. He just did an amazing, amazing job. What I want to do today is I want to bridge the gap, if you will, a little bit between what Gerald was talking about last week and kind of just tag team where I want to go this week. I want to go back and I want to read that psalm that he talked about. So if you got a Bible, you got your app right there, you got your phone, just open it up to Psalm 77. If you're not familiar with the Bible, I want to encourage everybody who's probably got a smartphone. So your smartphone, if you'll go to the App Store and download an app called YouVersion, it's got tons, I don't know, 25 or 30 different Bible translations, all kind of devotions that'll do you good in your personal Bible study. Anybody have a hard Bible? I mean, like a real Bible. Anybody? Come on, somebody. We're living in a generation. You know, let me just encourage you. What would happen if we had electronic? I mean, just the internet went down and you couldn't then get anything electronically. You better have some hard copy. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Poke your neighbor, say hard copy right there. That means you got to have a hard copy, paper copy Bible somewhere. Come on, somebody. There's people in China killing for it. And come on, I got about 100 of them at my house. So make sure that you're reading the Bible. Today we want to just really kind of, again, like I said, tag team off of where Gerald left us last week. And the whole message, if you weren't here, go to spectrumchurch.org and go to the media section. You can listen to the message. And this will make more sense maybe today. But his whole message was summarized really in this, that most people don't have a believing problem. They have a letting go problem. A letting go problem. And so today we really just want to talk to you about how you let go. And something that God's really been stirring in me, and I've talked about it over and over for about the last year and a half. Tagged different messages in it. And I'll tag it again today and I'll give it to you just in the next couple of seconds. But I don't really believe, again, that we don't have much of a believing problem. If you do, you read the Bible and you can start changing the way you believe. But we've got a letting go problem. And so today, again, we want to go back to Psalm 77. We want to read a bunch of scriptures there. We want to make some points. And I believe we're going to leave in about another 40 minutes. We'll leave better. Does that sound all right, everybody? Come on, sound all right, everybody? Come on, let's pray real quick. Come on. Father God, in Jesus' name, thank you for what you've done already in the midst of us today. People taking the next step, giving their life to be baptized. People are coming today to hear you right now in just this next couple of moments. We don't know what's going on in everybody's heart, but you do. We don't know the journey that everybody's gone on, but you do. We don't know the struggle that's happening right now in homes and finances and bodies, but you do. And so we're asking you to do in these next few moments. Father, I pray that you take the words that I'm about to say that you've given to me, and somehow they'd be processed through every person here, every teenager, every senior, every single mom, every single dad, every person that's going through pain, every person that's in the valley, every person on the mountaintop, that Father God, you'd talk to every heart, you'd open every heart, you'd open my and everyone's ears to hear you and leave this place changed. Come on, you agree with that? Just say amen. Psalm 77, let's read it again, verse 1 through 3. Gerald read it this week, last week. This is a psalm of a guy named Asaph. And again, you just got to go back and listen to that message. It was brilliant. Asaph says, I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice. Again, double repetition. Listen to his word. And he gave ear to me. God gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. How many know that there's sometimes you're going to go through trouble? In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. Day of my trouble, I didn't seek a joint. I didn't seek a drink. I didn't seek just shouting out to somebody. I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. Again, Gerald told us that sometimes you got day problems that they just kind of go through the night. My night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. But look what he says here. I remembered God and I was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Notice the word there, Selah, S-E-L-A-H. We'll talk about it in a moment. So he says in verse 3, really the more I complain, the worse it gets. Let me just shout out to everybody today, just stop complaining. The more you complain, the worse it's going to get. The more you complain, it's not going to help your problem. The more you complain and talk about it. You can rant, you can just point fingers. I mean, I'm amazed. I got this dude that I follow on Facebook, and he let out this thing that you had to be kind of insider information to know what he's talking about. But he was fed up, you could tell by his post, and he gave some explicit curse words and just blasted out to Facebook land. And I'm reading, I'm going, what are you doing? I have no idea what you just posted. He was just fed up with whatever he was fed up with, and his fingers did the typing. His heart was coming out through his fingers. And so this is what Asaph is saying. He says, man, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed, but nothing's really changing here. But let's keep reading. There's a story over in the Old Testament, and if you've read the Bible in the book of Genesis, it's a story of a guy named Lot, and he's got a wife, and he actually left his uncle named Abram, and he went to a certain city named Sodom and Gomorrah. If you know Sodom and Gomorrah, it's typical of sexuality and looseness and homosexuality and all kind of crazy stuff, greed and avarice going on in the city. And God just says, if you read the story, it's crazy. God just says, I've had enough, man, and we're just going to burn this thing up. But before we do, I got some people down there. Abraham was actually praying for his nephew and his family. He says, we got some people down there. We got to get out. So he actually sent a couple of angels down there. God came down, had dialogue with Abram, and then sent the angels to the city to get Lot and his family out. And the Bible, it's really crazy when you read the story, because this actually happened. It's in the Bible. Come on, anybody like me believe the Bible? Even though sometimes you go, that's crazy. But come on, you believe it. I believe it. So God was having mercy on Lot and his family to get him out of the city before he destroyed the city. But God says to him, listen, you got to get out. And we found that Lot and his wife were lingering. They didn't want to go. But Lot's wife, the Bible says, she looked back. God told her, don't look back. You got to keep going. You got to let go. You got to go forward. You got to let go of that city. You got to let go of those people. You got to let go of that lifestyle. You got to let go of that life. And you got to move forward with me. And she couldn't do it. The Bible says she looked back, and when she looked back, boom, God fried her right there. Come on, somebody. God just fried her. God just fried her right there. She became a salt pile, it says. Hey, have you ever just wanted to tell somebody, just let go? Just come on, just let go. Just let it go. But how many times, you know, if you're like me, if we're real, there's just some stuff it's tough to let go. And I find myself at times of weakness not wanting to let go because I want to feel the hurt, or I want to make that person hurt, or somehow I think that it's going to get hurt on them if I hurt him myself. And all that stuff is a little bit crazy, and Asaph's complaining to God and nothing's changing. So Asaph has seven rhetorical questions in verse 7-9, and notice what he says. Will the Lord cast us off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in his anger shut up his tender mercies? Here's that word again. Selah. Selah. He answers the question. He says this in my anguish. Notice this. I'm going to remember, verse 10, the years of the right hand of the Most High. I'm going to remember the works of the Lord. Surely I'm going to remember your wonders of old. Verse 12. I'm going to meditate on your work, and I'm going to talk of your deeds. It's amazing here, as he's going through this process, I'm complaining, it's not getting any better, I'm in anguish, I've cried through the day, I've cried through the night, I've lifted up my hands to God, I know he's heard me, but it seems like nothing's changing. And then he starts saying, have you cast us off forever? Are you done with us? Don't you remember us? Anybody ever felt like that? Well, when are you going to answer me? When is it going to change? When's this going to get some better? But he does something in his anguish. Notice the scripture. In his anguish, in his pain, he doesn't stay there. Notice what it says. Three times he says, I'm going to remember. I'm going to remember. I'm going to remember. And then he says this, I'm going to meditate. I'm going to stop. I'm going to think about God. I'm going to talk about God, he says. I'm going to remember God. Let me tell you what, if you're going to learn to let go, you got to remember something you ain't remembering. And if your memory isn't to the place that you can remember, you got to put some new memories in your life. You got to change that. You got to start thinking differently. And you've got the ability to do that. You can do that. A couple of months ago, I told a story that was phenomenal to me. It was a sad story in the sense that the guy that we all admired, if you will, on Subway commercials, Jared, that lost all that weight by eating Subway sandwiches and doing some exercise. We all remember him. Well, the sad story was that he got indicted, and they found child pornography and sex with teenagers and all kinds of stuff, and they found out what he was doing. Of course, lost all of his you know, advertising rights and all the money that was coming from there, lost his name, and he's in prison right now. And I'm not saying that so we look at that and try to shout out him and try to bring him down. But how he got caught was crazy. They've got dogs that can sniff the chemicals that are on pornographic images. So the dogs found a little teeny one of those little chips up in his attic or away somewhere. The five or six dogs in the United States can do that. And they sniff. Do a Google search and you'll find it out. And they found his little stash or whatever. And that was how he got indicted. And so I was talking to a friend, in fact, Pastor Diego, last week, and I was telling him this. I said, Pastor Diego, I said, if we can train a dog to do that, what can we do with our human spirit? Come on, somebody. Come on, we're gonna clap. Let's clap unto the Lord about that right there. If a dog can change and be trained, come on, I can change some stuff in my life. If I hurt bad enough, if I'm in anguish bad enough, if I want it bad enough, yeah, you can lose weight if you want to. Yeah, you can. I don't care what your thyroid tells you. You can. You can get over that divorce. Yes, you can if you want to. If you want to, but you want to keep hurting because of it? Yeah, you're going to stay hurting. You can get over that bankruptcy if you want to. If you want to. Or you can stay in your anguish. But there's a key here that Scripture says, if you'll remember God, and you'll start meditating. Because you meditate all day long. Come on, you meditate on Facebook. You meditate on Instagram. Come on, you meditate doing your show. We meditate all day long, but it's just retraining and reprocessing our mind to think in line with the Word of God. And come on, I heard a pastor say this. It was brilliant. He said, I can't afford to have that thought in my head that God doesn't have in His head. Come on, somebody. I can't afford it. If God's going to think this way, I'm going to have to think differently. So I'm going to have to selah. Selah, write it down. It means stop, pause, and think about this. So three times Asaph says, after he writes something, he writes S-E-L-A-H. Stop, pause, and think about that. You got to have some pause going on in your life if you're going to learn to let some things go. Come on, somebody. Because that the fire starts burning, you start thinking about stuff, it just gets bigger and bigger and stronger, and pretty soon you burst out, and you say something, you act a certain way, you lash out. We've all done it. I've done it, sad to say, numerous times, hundreds of times, when I just needed some Selah moments. Come on, everybody. Some Selah moments. Now, he finishes the thought there, and we'll just kind of keep going, because I want to get to the main thought I want to give you today. As he says in verse 13, your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? After all this, after all the questions, rhetorical questions, after remembering God, he says, God, your way is in the sanctuary. In the church, we'd say, your presence. I'm going to find you in your presence. I'm going to be able to know you in your presence. When I get alone, when I get quiet, when it's all just me and you, when I walk the beach, when I'm with the dog and I'm just out, it's just me and you in the morning with the coffee at the table, in the car, in the traffic. But I'm just saying, I need alone time. I need a sanctuary time. I'm going to sense your presence. I've got to get in your presence. And the presence, the Bible says, is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures from many more. Come on, anybody need some pleasure? Come on, anybody God pleasure, some joy? You got to get in his presence, the Bible says. So Asaph just concludes this psalm. We don't want to read it all just for sake of time, but read chapter 77 of Psalm. He concludes the psalm by remembering the greatest feat up until that point that he can recall that God ever did for the people of Israel, which was when he parted the Red Sea. And he talks about the lightnings, and he talks about the flashes, and he talks about that the sea parted, and he talks about God led the nation of Israel across a pathway, across a dry ground that they didn't even know was there. What's that mean? God wants to do something in your and my life that right now looks humanly impossible. right now. You go, I don't know how it's going to change. I don't know why and when it's going to change. I want it to change, but I'm going to quit my crying. I'm going to quit my moaning. I'm going to quit my anguish. I'm going to quit my complaining. And I'm going to remember. Yeah, I'm going to remember. Yeah, I'm going to remember. Yeah, come on, it's like a rap song. I'm going to meditate. Come on, everybody. I'm going to think about God. I'm going to think about God. I'm going to come to church. I'm going to get around the people of God. I'm not going to hang out at the disco. There ain't no disco anymore. But come on, come on. Come on, the 80s are coming back. Come on, somebody. You better watch out for my bell bottoms. They're coming back, baby. Platform shoes. Oh, yeah. Come on. I have some platform shoes. You know I like shoes. Help me, help me, help me. But what I want to do, come on, just the next few moments, is I want to create a pathway for you to let go. I want to create a pathway. So it's really easy for me to say, let go. Okay, cool. But you don't know. But I want to create a pathway for you to let go. I want to be real practical today. I want to be real transparent in this, because all of us can do this, and all of us at times have a problem with it. But all year long, and probably for the last, really, like I said earlier, about 18 months, I've been talking to you about three parts of your being. You are a spirit made in the image and likeness of God. You have a soul, a mind, will, and emotions. And you have a body. You live in a body. You are a spirit. You have, possess a soul, and you live in a body. Your body's not to dominate you. Your soul is not to dominate you. But your spirit man, made in the image and likeness of God, is what's supposed to dominate you. It's supposed to. If we get those things out of order, we will live confused. We will live hurt. We will live broken lives. Every person on the earth is a three-part being. Those that have made Jesus the Lord of their life, their spirits have been remade, reborn, born again. Those who have not made Jesus the Lord of life, their spirits are dead unto God. If they die before making Jesus the Lord of life, I believe what the Scripture says is they are eternally damned to spend eternity in hell. Not God's will, not God's plan, not His desire, not His design. He wants everybody to know Him and to follow Him and to fulfill the will and the purpose that He has for their life. But He gives everybody the right to choose. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. So let's talk for a few moments about these three parts again of our life, how they integrate in us knowing how to let go. Come on, look at your neighbor again and just say, let go. Come on, just let go. Just don't let go. Let go. Just let go. Just let go. Just let go. Proverbs 18:14, one of the greatest scriptures I like. This is I just like this scripture in the Amplified Bible. Proverbs 18:14. Look on the screen. The strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble, but a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? The strong spirit of a man. I would like to tell you, or like to say it this way, if the Bible says the strong spirit of man will sustain him in bodily pain or ailment, then the weak spirit of a man will not. A strong spirit is what you must have so you can win in every situation that comes your way. I've got a friend right now. In fact, Pastor Mark Hankins, some of you all know him. He and his wife Trina come every year. They're dear, dear friends. Their daughter and son-in-law also pastor a church in Lafayette, Louisiana. They've got five kids, three boys, and then they had twins, twin boy, twin girl. They're about three years old. One day, 8 weeks ago, the boy, all of a sudden, well, probably 12 weeks ago now, is not feeling good, just not doing good, not feeling good, lethargic. Goes to the doctor, gets diagnosed as a three-year-old that he's got, they thought, mononucleosis. And so, undetected, you know, just go rest, liquids, you know, take 3 years old. Not getting any better for 4 or 5 weeks. Goes to another doctor, goes to outside of the place that they lived at, had a little bit better medical care, and he's diagnosed with leukemia. 3 years old. Okay? Listen. The strong spirit of a man will sustain him in bodily pain or ailment. But a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up? Who can bear? What do you do today when you leave here and get bad report? You know what this couple did? They started fighting. Can I say it? Like hell. Grit their teeth. He's going to live. He's not going to die. He's going to declare the works of the Lord. The Lord doesn't give and take away. That's what Job said. That's not what God said. That's what Job said. Hey, He's a giver. Every good and perfect gift come down from the Father above, whom there's no, come on, there's no variables or shadow of turning. James 1:17 says, come on, everybody. So they're fighting. He's gone through, you know, some chemo. He's doing that. And come on, he's getting stronger right now. Come on, 6 weeks in, he's getting stronger and stronger. Come on, somebody. Stronger and stronger. So whose report you going to believe? You got a choice. A strong spirit man will believe the report of the Lord. So your born-again spirit is designed for you to overcome every situation that comes your way. The Bible says you will not, you don't go through a trouble-free life, but when you go through trouble, come on, you know the one that will mess up the trouble that's come to you. His name is Jesus. Come on, somebody. He's the overcomer, and the overcomer lives in you. Come on, greater is He. Come on, somebody, that lives in me than he that lives in the world. Come on, everybody. Come on, are we in church or what? Come on, everybody. Man, so let me just say it this way. I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it. If you keep your spirit strong, it has the potential to keep the other areas of your life strong. It's not automatic, but it's possible. So listen to me here now. Because I know a guy that's no longer here that was, I know years ago, 20 years ago almost, who was an alcoholic. He was an alcoholic. He'd drink himself drunk. I mean, drink himself drunk almost every night. But he'd come out. He'd come out. And when he'd come out, I'd see him, and he'd come to church. And he'd sit down to me. He could quote the Bible like Billy Graham. He put me to shame. Right, listen to me. He'd be quoting scripture, coming out. So his spirit had the capacity to receive the word of God, but he never did anything with his soul. So don't tell me how much scripture you know if it ain't working through your life. I'm talking to brother up here too. The mirror's right here. Come on, man in the mirror right here. So look, we're here on the screen. What you feed on will fill you or deplete you. It will strengthen you or weaken you. It will encourage you or demoralize you. So if I follow you home today, I'm going to look in your fridge and say, what you eating, little snack queen? See that white stuff in there called sugar? It's killing you, baby. Come on, see that Coke in there? You're dying early, baby. Come on now. Shut it down, Ed. Somebody take that brother out. Come on. But he's the biggest man in church. Let him stay. Come on, somebody. Come on, let him stay. I want Ed on my side. Come on. So how bad you want it? How bad you want to let go? Me, spirit, soul, body. Again, I told you this a year and a half ago. Why I'm working out? Why I'm riding my bike? Why I'm praying? Why I'm reading? Why I'm trying to walk in love as best I can? Why I'm trying to do everything God's called me to do? I want to live long. I want to see my kids and my grandkids. And in Jesus' name, we keep, you know, every year we keep living a little bit longer. Medically, they keep helping us think right and do right. Come on, I plan on living a long time. Come on. I'm going to be rocking skinny jeans when I'm 88, baby. Oh, yeah. I have some sag spots, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah. I was watching a show the other day, and they were talking about these guys were out, and this was an old, you know, way back 100, 200 years ago, and these guys got lost at sea, and the water was leaving them, and they couldn't drink any water, and they're in salt water, right? And so I was just thinking about that. You're at sea, surrounded by water, but you can't drink it. And so part of what happened, there's some guy kind of lost his mind, you know, out at sea, you know, sun and all that stuff. And he gets the bucket, and he starts drinking salt water. I, to be honest with you, I didn't know the biological anatomy or whatever's going on in that, but I looked it up. I went, what's really going on when that happens? Here's the deal. Human kidneys can only make urine that's actually less salty than salt water. Therefore, to get rid of all the excess salt water, taken by drinking seawater, you have to urinate more water than you drink. And when you urinate more water than you drink, you die of dehydration even though you become thirstier. What are you talking about? What's all that about? What's all that about? If you're not thirsting for the right thing, you can be hungry and killing yourself. All it needs is a man. You don't need no man. What you need is Jesus. I didn't need a girl. I didn't need a girl in my life. You got a job, you don't need no girl. Come on, somebody. You need Jesus. So what you fill your life with could kill you or could possibly help you. Three-part being, or we talk about this, the spirit, soul, body. And the Bible talks about three kinds of men in the Bible, in the book of Corinthians. Write it down if you don't know it. Three kinds of men, the natural man, the carnal man, or the spiritual man. Here's what the Bible says about the natural man. It's on the screen there for you to just remember by. The natural man, the Bible says, isn't born again. Doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's what the Bible says. That they're living a life that's just totally separate from God's word and God's will. That's what a natural man is. Doesn't know God, doesn't care, living a life totally separate from God's will and God's purpose in your life. But there's a second kind of man the Bible talks about in that same passage in Corinthians. It's called the carnal man. Here's what the carnal man is. This man professes Jesus but never lives out the God kind of life. And really what we know from this is that they've never had an outworking of the inworking. That's what we talked about a minute ago. Never had an outworking of what's working in you. So it's not that I made Jesus the Lord of my life. It's not that even today I got water baptized and so everything's okay. Now I got to work out my own salvation, the Bible says in Philippians 2, with fear and trembling. I got to think about the word. I got to work it out. How can I work it out? I'm angry. I got to figure out how to deal with this anger according to the word. I'm losing my mind. I don't have no patience. I got to figure out from the word of God that now that's in me. How do I work it out? A carnal man says, it's in me, but I don't want to work it out. It never works out. Never works out. So as a kid, man, when I was going to the certain church when I was a little boy, I couldn't figure out why all the elders in between Sunday school, come on, remember Sunday school? Sunday school was before the big church, and so we had Sunday school, and then all the elders and all the deacons were outside telling dirty jokes and drinking and smoking cigars. And I'm going, I'm 8 years old, and I'm going, something's crazy about this. Because I'm going, I'm struggling in my life at 8 years old. Come on. I'm trying to be a Jesus kind of guy, 8 years old. And I'm trying to do the right thing in Sunday school. And I'm trying to keep my temper. And I'm trying to be, you know, I'm trying to be a good little boy, one of three boys. And I'm trying to listen to my mom. And I'm looking at the elders and the deacons. And they're out there doing that. And I'm going, they got something, but they're carnal. You don't have to be that way. The Bible talks about a third kind of person, which I believe you are today. Come on, the spiritual man, spiritual person. This person has surrendered the lordship of Jesus Christ and his rule and reign in their life. Their thoughts, their motives, their actions, their agenda, it all lines up with God's word. Doesn't mean you're perfect, but you're saying, I make a decision to allow, since I'm going to let go of some stuff, if I'm going to let go, I'm going to have to be a spiritual person. I'm going to have to make up my mind that I'm going to allow God's word and his will to influence my life. I'm going to have to work it in my life, and I'm going to have to work things out of my life. Work things in and work things out. When you get a new couch, you get rid of the old couch. Come on, somebody. Or else it goes to the kids. Come on, somebody. Can I say amen? Come on. It goes. Or if you're from the South, like, why don't you get rid of the couch? You put it on the front porch. Come on, somebody. Anybody from the South? Come on, anybody from the South? There we go. That's what we do in the South. We sit on the front porch. So listen, you're going to have to decide what kind of man you're going to be. Am I going to be a spiritual man, a natural man, or am I going to be a carnal man? Am I going to let the Spirit of God work in my life? How am I going to let go? I'm going to have to let go by filling my life with the Word of God. So just real quick, you're going to have a couple things. You're going to have Word time. Come on. You're going to have some Word time. You're going to have some prayer time. You're going to have some praise time. You're going to have church time. Come on, somebody. You're going to have some serving time. This is what you got to do. You just got to do. This is part of your life. This is what you got to do. You have no choice. What you got to do is what you got to do. When I'm working out at the gym, and I know you can tell I'm really working out, and thanks, brother Adrian. Way to go, Adrian. Adrian's coming to lunch with me today. Come on, y'all are not. There's a dude named Farouk, and Farouk's a beast. Farouk's got arms as big as my legs. I know that's not a lot to you, but my legs are as big as they're going to get. Anyway, Farouk's an animal. He's an animal. And he's doing this thing. He's a cool guy, and he's gone. He went to Pittsburgh, and I haven't talked to him because he went to Pittsburgh on Thursday for a competition, the show, and all that. And they invited me, but I was busy. And that's the last one today. I promise you, that's the last one. And so I saw him in the gym. And so for the last 12 weeks, he's been on the regimen. He's already big. He's already yoked. But he wants to get ripped, shredded. Come on, somebody. Shredded. You know what I'm talking about? That means every muscle striation you see, every pose, it's, and then they kind of pose it, and then they kind of go, and it goes a little bit more. Come on, you know what I mean? I said I wouldn't do it. Couldn't help it. Couldn't help it. I didn't know what a pose that was right there. Anyway, I asked him last week, Farouk, how you doing? You know what he said? Terrible. I said, what you mean terrible? He said, I can't eat what I want to eat. It's affecting everything in my life, this show. I'm feeling terrible right now. But him feeling terrible in his body is for the purpose of displaying his body. So listen to me. Here's what I know. For some of you, before you let go, you're going to go through a dip. It ain't going to get better. It's going to get tougher. And you're going through the valley of a shadow of death. But if you hang on, come on, you're going to be ripped and buff and look like Pastor Gary. Come on, don't be doing that now. No. Come on. You're going to make it to the other side. Come on, give the Lord a praise. Would you do that right there? Yeah. So feel your spirit. Come on, feel your spirit. Come on, second part of your being is called your soul. Your soul. If you don't know this scripture, 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your intellect. You need to have soul prosperity. Prosperity in your soul, not your spirit only. But your thinking lines up. Your mind lines up. Your will lines up. Your desire lines up. Your motive lines up with the Word of God. That you got to start demanding yourself. I demand myself to think in line with the Word of God. I'm going to forgive that person. I'm going to bless that person. I'm going to love that person. Come on, I'm going to give to that person. I'm not going to let them destroy me. Come on, I'm going to believe God that God's turning the situation around for me. Come on, everybody. So how you think is what you'll do. How you think. What you think about. Come on, anybody been upstairs in the middle of the night and you've been thinking about ice cream? Come on, somebody. Come on, anybody, come on, you've been thinking about ice cream? Yeah, what'd you do? You went down there and got it. Yeah, you did. Yeah. So if what you think on, your body will start working out. You got to change the way you're thinking. So many scriptures. We're running out of time, but just write down a couple just for sake of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. The weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. They're strongholds in the mind, guys. Look what he says, verse 5. You've got to cast down arguments, or one translation says, reasonings, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You've got to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is possible. This is possible that you can bring in every thought captive and make it obey Jesus Christ before it becomes a stronghold. A stronghold. So you've got to bring thoughts in. You've got to bring imaginations in. Things that come against the knowledge of God, what God says about you, who you are as a man, who you are as a woman, who you are in your sexuality, who you are, who God's made you. Again, if you're struggling that with your sexuality, listen, your plumbing reveres and reveals who you are. You never have to wonder about that. Ever how the plumbing is how God made me. It's how He made me. And so we know this, that we need, in our generation, now we need to renew our mind to this, because all kinds of stuff is going on that's telling us that's different than this. So we need to cast down that stronghold that'll wind up changing, how I think winds up changing physical appearance. How I think changes what I speak. How I think changes where I go. How I think must be brought under the subjection of the Word of God for me to let go of maybe a homosexual thought, a desire for another woman. I'm a married man, been married 33. What you talking about? And a thought comes. What you do with that? What do you do? I ain't smoked a joint in 37 years. Yet a couple weeks ago, I was driving by the park at Mission Bay on a bike ride, and I smelled Mary Jane. Hey. I know what it is. And inside me, immediately, I went, whoo. 37 years, no smoke. But no. But listen. No, there's not a sad story. Come on, you're going, did you do something? No. Somebody, whoa, come on. The church is getting ready to be on fire today. But thought comes. There's certain movies you just can't replay. There's certain places you just can't go back by. There's certain Facebook pages you can't frequent. I'm just checking up on my high school kid. No, you ain't. You checking what's going on. Who got divorced? Who's not? Well, yeah. Man. Come on, this might be a 3-hour service. Y'all get ready. Come on, we're going to dunk some of y'all out there in that tank before the day's over. Come on. Yeah, we are. I'm a nacho libre, you right there. Bam. The Bible says, Romans 12:2, listen, transformation, Romans 12:2, transformation comes when you renew your mind with the Word of God. Come on, anybody beside me like want some more transformation? Come on. I want to be transformed. I want to be transformed. And it happens by the renewing constantly of your mind. So it says, take every thought captive. How am I going to let go of that? I got to get some new thoughts up here in my head. I got to see what God says. I got to hang around God people. I got to fill my spirit. I got to come to church. I got an opportunity to go through growth track so I can learn what God wants to do in my life. So I can be who God wants me to be. So I can make a difference and my life can change. I want to be changed. I don't want to be that dude that's going and carrying all the junk from 10, 15, 20 years ago. Come on, I want to let that stuff go. I'm ready for a change. And I can change by transforming my mind. So if I'm going to let go, if I'm going to be like Asaph, if I'm going to let go, I'm going to have to remember, meditate. I'm going to have to, if I'm going through anguish, that's in the day, it's in the night, I'm start complaining, I'm talking about, nothing's changing, I'm going to have to think about God. I'm going to get something different in my spirit. I'm going to have to cause my mind, my soul, to line up with the Word of God. But then we're a third part being. We're a body. Come on, just grab your neighbor. Just give him a little pinch. Come on, just give him a little pinch right there. That's a little bit too personal. Come on, it's a little too personal. Why'd you guys do that right there? Come on. So let's talk about that real quick. To let go. And let's talk to you real passionate. Sometimes I'm a little bit too passionate. I listen to my message and I go, doggone, you're a little bit too hot and heavy right there. So I don't want to be too hot and too heavy. But let me just say this before I get hot and heavy. Some of y'all just around some people, you just need to cut the cord. Can I say it that way? You just need to leave the unhealthy relationship. If you've never had a healthy spiritual relationship, again, you got to come to growth track. You got to give your heart to Jesus. You got to come to growth track. But you know, the kind of a go word with the young kids now is just people that live with varying degrees of crazy. It's like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Why are you still there? Why are you in that verbal abusive situation? Why? Why? You cannot stay in that physical abuse any longer. Why? You've been involved in sexual abuse. Why stay there? And some people, maybe you're here today, I'm going to throw this out there. Maybe you're visiting us today and you've been to church and there's spiritual abuse. Why are you there? They're shouting you down. They're trying to control you. Different churches I've heard about. Get out. Let go. But, you know, letting go is tough. Letting go is tough. It's tough. But God wants you to. You can be full of the Spirit, Spirit changing, renewing your mind. But listen to me. Until some of you demand something goes on in your body, I'm going to get out. I'm going to let go. I'm going to let go. Don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to let go. I'm going to cut it. They ain't going to talk to me like that no more. You got some friends and you just think that you need to let them go. You need to cut that cord. I'm not going to be around anymore. They're dragging me down. Every time I'm around, they're dragging me down. They talk negative. I ain't going to get around it no more. I'm going to cut that cord. I don't care if... Listen, I say this with the humblest... You got to be... Family's family. Family's your family. I don't got to hang around them all the time, though. I don't got to hang... Certain family, I ain't going to hang around them all the time. I'm going to cut the cord in a measured way. There's a huge word in the health industry, a couple words, you know, big, of course, our day, are detox and cleanse. You know, detox. Detox drinks, detox cleanse, all that kind of stuff. Some of y'all done it. I've done it. Colon cleanses, all that kind of stuff. Clean out your body. Get the impurities out. Get the toxins out. Because really, basically, what it means is you're trying to get down to the very part of your being that's cleansing your blood. Because in the kidneys and the livers, in the liver, if you don't get the toxins out, and the elimination out, it starts having impurities, and your life gets toxic, and it can potentially lead to death. And some of us are around just toxic relationships. Well, you just need a detox. You need a getaway. You need to let that go. And until you do, strong in the spirit, my mind's changed, but I'm still in that environment. And God wants you to let it go. There's crazy scriptures. I think we don't read them because we don't maybe know the environment that they're in. The Apostle Paul was a preacher's preacher. He was established in churches. If you don't know, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John talk about Jesus, and then in the book of Acts talks about what the church did after Jesus went to heaven. And the Apostle Paul was used mightily by God to preach and to establish churches, just like maybe our church, if you will. Well, he's got a guy, a protege named Timothy, and Timothy's in the city of Ephesus, and he's establishing a church there. And Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, and he talks about the same guy twice. So listen, if your name comes up in two letters, you're in trouble. Here's what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. Let me read the easy read version is what it's called. Continue to trust in God and do what you know is right. No, do what you know is right. Some people haven't done this, and their faith is now in ruins. Hymenaeus and Alexander are men like that. They didn't do what's right, and some people aren't like this, and now these guys' faith is in ruins. Hymenaeus and Alexander. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul brings it up again. And he says this, Alexander the metal worker or the coppersmith caused me much harm. The Lord's going to punish him for what he did. He fought against everything we teach. You should be careful that he doesn't hurt you too, Timothy. Timothy, can I tell you what he's saying? Stay away from Alexander. Don't go near him. I don't care if your spirit's saying reach him. I don't care if your soul's... You need to cut the cord in your body. Don't let that guy close to you. If you get around him, if you get around him, if you get around certain people, what's in them will get in you. You need to get away. Smoking in cars in California is illegal if you got kids present. Now, if you know that, that might be a God word for somebody. It's illegal. Why is it illegal? There's two kinds of smoke. I didn't know it, but it's kind of interesting. Two kinds of smoke, if you know this. There's smoke called side stream smoke. It's smoke from the lighted end of a cigarette, a pipe, or a cigar. But there's another kind of smoke, you know. It's called mainstream smoke. And mainstream smoke is the smoke exhaled by the smoker. So there's side stream smoke, and then there's mainstream smoke. You need to get rid of both these things in your life. What's that mean? The side stream smoke is the person that you get around, and there's always a fire. There's always a fire. Always a fire. You get around them, and it's like you're agitated. It's just, always a fire. Always a fire. And you need to get away from people who are like this mainstream smoke, that what they say is just fumes. And it's coming into your life, and it's bringing you down, and it's dragging you down. You need to let it go. You need to let them go. You got to do something with your spirit. You got to do something with your soul. And you got to do something with your body. It's life and death, guys. God's not playing. So what's it mean? Where can we go today? Where do you draw the line with saying, okay, where's my spirit? What am I eating? What am I ingesting? Do I have word time? Do I have prayer time? Do I have God time? What am I doing with thoughts? Do I just let stuff run around? Or what, do I take the Word of God? Do I meditate? Do I think about it? Do I remember God? And I'm not going to fill my mind with the way it used to be. What am I doing? Is there situations around me in my body that I just need to let that person go? I need to get that out of me. I'm not going that way anymore. I'm not going to take my body and be a part of that any longer. What does it mean to you? You need to process that. You got to fill up your spirit, man, to let go. You got to fill up your spirit, man. Fill it up with the Word of God. You got to control your soul. You got to control it. I'm going to have my soul on cruise control going direction God's got for me. I'm not going to let anything come into my life. And then I'm going to have to demand that my body does what my spirit and my soul say. I want to change. I want to make improvements. I want to grow. I want to be developed. I want to be the God man God wants. I want to be the mom. I want to be the single person. I want to maintain my singleness. Maybe I've stumbled and fell before. Maybe I had sex before marriage, whatever it is. Maybe I had an abortion. It doesn't mean I have to have it again. God will forgive me right now. But I want to change now. I want to think differently now. Maybe I've been loose with my tongue. I've been a gossiper. I've been a backbiter. I've been negative. I've been critical. I don't want to do that any longer. I've not let God have influence in my life, in my money, my choices, my decisions. I want to change now. It all begins with you and me. And God's always there for you to take the next step. Come on, would you bow your head, close your eyes? Father God, we just pray for everyone in the room right now. Been an amazing day. Had great worship. Father, I saw people give their lives to you in next steps in water baptism, but Father, as we look at now our own lives, we're just asking you to help us right here, right now. Help us be who you want us to be. Help us grow spiritually. Maybe some people just super challenged with what's being said today. And it's just like, man, I'm in a decision time right now. What am I going to do? What am I going to believe? What am I going to eat spiritually? What am I going to think? What am I going to do with that relationship? Am I going to stay? Am I going to leave? Am I going to cut the cord of that person? Father God, challenge each one of us today to be more and more like you, because that's really what we want to do. We don't want to play around anymore. We want to live purposefully for what you have for us. Right there where your head's bowed, your eyes closed. Again, we want to give everyone the right to privacy. That's just why we do that. Right there where you're sitting. You can make a profession right there that's just between you and God. We're all going to say a prayer in a few moments. We're going to invite you to say it with us to make Jesus the Lord of your life. It's the beginning.